I'm just going to read our reading. It is taken from Luke 17, and it is verses 11 to 19. And it is titled, Be Thankful. While Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, he was going through the area between Samaria and Galilee. As he came into a small town, 10 men who had a skin disease met him there. They did not come close to Jesus, but called to him, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When Jesus saw the men, he said, Go and show yourselves to the priests. As the 10 men were going, they were healed. When one of them saw that he was healed, he went back to Jesus, praising God in a loud voice. Then he bowed down at Jesus' feet and thanked him. Jesus said, Weren't 10 men healed? Where are the other 9? Is this Samaritan the only one who came back to thank God? Then Jesus said to him, Stand up and go on your way. You were healed because you believed. So, what struck you most when I read that story then? I wonder what your first thought was after hearing it. Was it, wow, Jesus is awesome. What a fab miracle he did, healing 10 men all at once. Was it, cool, one came back to thank Jesus. What a kind and thoughtful person he must have been. Or was it, I wonder what happened to the other 9? That's a bit rude that they didn't say thank you. I wonder how Jesus felt about that. I like to think he was using a little bit of sarcasm here, you know. Didn't I heal 10 men? I sworn I did. Where did the other 9 go? We'd kind of expect it to be second nature to say thank you, wouldn't we? Our parents start teaching us this basic form of manners from a very young age. Pretty much as soon as we're crawling, we're encouraged to say ta, say thank you, and we all know the sign for thank you, don't we? And it goes like this. Absolutely. If someone helps you, does a kind thing for you, buys you a gift or supports you, looks after you, makes you dinner, babysits for you, etc., etc., the list goes on and on. If someone does something for you, whatever it is, the right thing to do is to say thank you. So what happened to the other 9 men? All 10 men had met Jesus in town that day. They'd called out to him from across the street, Jesus, have mercy on us. Why were they calling to him? Well, like lots of people, they'd heard about him and they knew about the things he'd done. They knew he was a miracle worker, that he could do amazing things. And they were looking for a miracle. All of them were. The 10 men had a skin disease. That meant they were outcasts. The disease was highly contagious and no one wanted to come near them. For fear of catching it themselves. These men were desperate. They called out for Jesus to help, for healing help. Obviously, Jesus already knew what the men wanted. Of course he did. He's Jesus, after all. He knows what we all need before we know ourselves and even before we've asked. So Jesus said to the men, Go and show yourselves to the priests. He didn't say, you are healed, which seems a bit odd. But instead, he said, show yourselves to the priests. Jesus said this because it was the priests who were the ones who could verify that someone was healthy and had been cured. Until the priests confirmed that the person who was unwell was well again, they weren't allowed to rejoin the community. So off the men went, to see the priest, obedient to what Jesus had asked them to do. And as they went, they were healed. Brilliant! Amazing! They got exactly what they'd hoped for, the miracle of healing. But only one man noticed he'd been healed, and only one man went back to Jesus, praising God in a loud voice and bowing down at Jesus' feet in thanks. Charles Spurgeon commented on this passage, and he said, "External religious exercises are easy enough and common enough, but the internal matter, the drawing out of the heart in thankful love, how scarce a thing it is. Nine obey ritual where only one praises the Lord." Now that's a little bit wordy for the children, so let me explain. Spurgeon is saying that it's easy to take part in the ritual or routine of something, to go and see the priests in this case, or to go to church regularly in ours, to continue our daily habits of reading the Bible perhaps and praying, etc. All good things, by the way. But it is another thing to look within and be full of thankfulness to God for all he's done and continues to do, to truly understand and take note of all we should be thankful for. Sometimes we don't say thank you. It's not that we're not grateful or that we're not thankful, but simply that we forget or we just don't notice there is anything to say thank you for. Nine men walked away healed. Well, 10 actually. But what were the nine thinking? Of course they were grateful. This meant they could rejoin their community and go back to leading normal lives again. But why didn't they come running back to Jesus like the one man did, shouting praises and words of thankfulness? Perhaps they thought, wow, I can see my family and friends again. I can go and do all the things I couldn't before. And they were so caught up in the moment that they forgot to thank Jesus. Or did they simply think, oh, thank goodness, I'm better. That's a bit of a coincidence. And then just merrily carry on with their lives. Sometimes we can get caught up in celebrating the thing that went really well, the fact that our worry about a situation was unfounded, or that a friend or family member got better, that the exam went better than expected, or the job interview was successful. Our health has improved, we're healed, or we've made good friends at school or college. We are so happy and overjoyed with celebrating things because our lives are better for them, that we forget to notice who made them possible. We've forgotten that these were all things we'd been praying about, things we've been bringing to God for weeks and months, things we've been asking his help with. When we stop to consider and take stock of all that God has done for us, we should celebrate him. We should shout our praises and thanks to him for everything he has done. We need to remember his goodness and his faithfulness to us with cheers of heartfelt thankfulness. I'd like you to consider when you last thoughtfully brought your praises and thanks to God. And Hannah's got an idea to help us with that, which she's going to share shortly. Let's pray. God, you are awesome. You are great. You are faithful. God, we thank you that you love us and that you only want the best for us. We are so thankful for all that you do for us. God, help us remember to take note of all the good things you do for us. In your name, amen. Amen, absolutely. Thanks, Hannah.
Thank you. Brilliant. Thank you, Ellen. I'm just going to move this down because I genuinely can't see some of you on when it's this height because I'm really not that tall. It's a bit embarrassing. Is that doing it right? Thank you. There we go. I can see you now. Perfect. So, like Ellen's just said, it's really, really important that we can come back to God and give him the praise and the thanks for all of the answered prayers and all of the things that he has given us. So I'm just going to give you 1 minute to have a really good think about all the things that you want to say thank you to God for. So let's just spend a minute in quiet, having a think. So I'm sure you all came up with lots of good things that you want to say thank you to God for, but in reality, 1 minute really isn't enough, is it? We have a suggestion of how you can make this intentional gratitude and this intentional thankfulness a thing in your day-to-day life. So this notebook here, this is my gratitude journal. And every single day since I think it's November 2020 or something, I have written down 3 things that I'm grateful for. Some of those things are really small things, like, you know, God, I'm thankful for chocolate and for stuff like that. Some of them are really big things, like, thank you that you've provided this way for me to go. But this notebook has really transformed how I sort of see the world, and it really helps me to see things with a really grateful perspective and to notice the things that God's doing for me. And we really want to encourage you to try the same thing, because if you do it every day, it will become such a natural habit to you, and something will happen, you're like, oh, cool, thank you, God. It will just become a natural instinct for you. So coming around now, Val and Doug, are some little notebooks, which we would really encourage you to make into your very own gratitude journal. So you may want to do something like me, where you write down 3 things every day you're grateful for, and then sort of use that as a basis for your prayer time when you sort of thank God for those things. Maybe you want to do it a bit differently. Maybe you want to be a bit more creative and have some prompts that you can use each day. So, for example, what's one answered prayer for today, or something like that. Maybe you want to use it like a prayer journal, where you write down your prayer of thanks to God each day for something or a few things that he has done for you. Whichever way you decide to use it, I really hope you can make gratitude a habit, and I really hope it helps you to become more aware of all of the things that God is doing in your life, all the ways that he's working, because when you start to think about it, there is a lot of stuff that God has given. A lot of stuff that God is still doing in your life. So just gonna let these come around for a moment. And in the meantime, again, have a think about how has God answered your prayers recently? What has he provided for you that you're really grateful for? So like I said, try to use this as your gratitude journal, not as, you know, a shopping list notebook or just things I remember notebook, but actually make it a really intentional thing. If you want to decorate it, if that's your thing, decorate it. If not, that's fine. But I'd really encourage you to have a really good try at gratitude and thanking God every single day for the things that he has given us. Awesome. Has everybody got one? Yes. Awesome. That's great. Over. Cool then, for our final song.